It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship, in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I wish that I could really summon my usual enthusiasm to talk about Survivor, but
yeah,
things
didn't go your way this week.
Well, not even that. I don't even care about that. It's just the worst season of Survivor I've ever watched.
It's also the worst season of Survivor I've ever watched, and I've watched quite a few more than you. You've only, what is this, your fourth season watching?
It's been longer than that. My Second Chances, this might be my fifth. Second Chances was the one I started with, which was also, I mean, it was great, but it was kind of a curse because that is still the best season I've seen. Like, that was a really good season, yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there were,
but yeah, let me try and go through these, the ones that we've covered. We've covered, Second Chances.
Second Chances, obviously.
We covered Koran.
Mm-hmm.
Koran was Brains, Beauty, Brawn, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
We covered the Millennials versus Gen X one, and then the last one, which was Game Changers?
Yes. Pronounced Game Changers.
Game Changers. And then, yeah, this is the...
Antonio Banderas.
This is the fifth one.
Dumb shit. The weird thing about this theme is, like, why did they choose H as the letter?
I don't know.
To do, like, triple. I can understand the triple B thing. Like, that's kind of a phrase, almost. But this is not a thing people have ever... The only reason people ever say Triple H is when they're talking about how it's time to play the game.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, people... Like, Brains, Brawn, Beauty is, like, an actual, you know, sort of contrasting set of things people talk about versus this...
Even the collar season, what was that? Worlds Apart. Like, that was a really shitty season also. But at least, like, red, white collar, blue collar is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, they were pushing it with no collar. Like, that's where they were pushing it. But at least started out with something people talk about. And they've already had heroes versus villains, so why are you doing a thing?
Yeah, why would you repeat the heroes tribe? That's like...
Which, that actually makes sense when it's heroes versus villains, but you're contrasting it with these two things that have nothing
to do
with it.
That are also positive.
That have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah, this just in, this is a bad theme for the season. I know no one's been talking about it for the last few months, but this is a bad theme.
I like that they had something as bad as Millennials versus Gen X, and we're like, but what if we had a worse theme?
But even that is something people talk about. That's a conversation point, is which generation is best. The youngest one, obviously, forever. That will always be the case. When Millennials or Gen X, baby boomers, they will be the worst generation. When Gen Z or whatever generation behind us is us, they're going to be the best generation. It's the younger one is always better. The babies are the best generation. I don't think they have a name yet, but we'll call them babies until they do. That's the best generation. They're going to save the world.
Hey, yeah, well, they're going to save the cheerleader, so.
Yeah, so tell us.
We're going to die, and they're going to fly. That's all I'm saying.
The babies are the Hayden Panettiere, and we are the Siler?
No, baby boomers are Siler. We're Hero.
We're Hero, yeah. We're Hero from Heroes. And then
why wasn't there
healers.
A subplot on Heroes where Hero had to face someone named Hustler and someone named Healer?
It's honestly a missed opportunity, if you ask me. So, Thomas, my question for you. I would love to continue talking about Heroes, the great 2008 NBC hit sci-fi show Heroes, but what we came here to talk about is Survivor Triple H. So my question is, Thomas, did you watch Survivor Triple H last night?
It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control.
I did watch that. I think this episode, more than any one that I've watched thus far, was one that I just really turbo-skimmed, because just nothing was grabbing me.
What? This was the loved ones challenge. How dare you skip the loved ones challenge?
I watched all the loved ones parts.
Oh, great. Okay, let's... episode title first. It was called Not Going to Roll Over and Die. Chrissy said it. All hail Chrissy, the next winner of Survivor.
If she fucking wins.
She will go down as the worst. If she or Mike win, they will go down as the worst winner in the history of the show.
Can you imagine if we got a Chrissy, Mike, Young Sheldon final three?
Why would anyone watch the finale if that were the case?
I wouldn't. I think we would abstain at that point.
The unfortunate thing is they're going into the finale. I think it will be final five, right? There's one more episode and then the finale, I think.
Yeah.
So we're not going to know who the final three is. Do you want if it turns out that the final three
we just shouldn't talk.
Do you want to just stop watching?
Just shouldn't talk about it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that.
We can start covering the Survivor Borneo or whatever.
Oh, yeah. If it turns out to be final three is them, I'm still going to watch to the end because I want to see the preview for Ghost Island. But yeah, I'll just stop taking notes if it comes out that that's the final three.
Just a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. It's amazing that the worst three people on the season continue. Well, I guess they got Joe out. But the worst three of the worst four people are going to make it to the fucking end. Anyway, Chrissy says at camp that she's going to get through this, but she doesn't know how. I really hope you don't. And then she degrades Ben, and they have a big argument. And he says, "You can't mother me." And she says something, she calls him a jerk. And then he's like, "Do you talk to your kids this way?" And she goes, "I don't call my kids a jerk," or something like that. But, like, mispronounced it, like, the whole sentence. She, like, started a different sentence and then finished it with, "My kid's a jerk," and it was a good time. Anyway, the point is, Chrissy sucks, and Ben is the only legitimate person left to win. And then she says, "If I get a chance to get back at Ben, I'm gonna take it." Great. I love this personal vendetta shit. Ooh, speaking of vendettas, new challenge. It's called Vendettas. Just thought you'd like to know. I know you're a big fan of that show.
Sure.
From us.
How is that any different than, like, Rivals?
Well, because this time everybody's out for themselves. They don't have a partner this time. Other than that, it seems exactly the same. We will talk about that more later. Let's first get into this reward challenge, what is has been called the worst challenge in Survivor history. It's the loved ones challenge. Ashley's dad comes out, and then Ryan's dad comes out, who does not seem as into this as Ryan does.
No, not at all. Like,
"We are both very into Survivor." And Ryan's dad is like, thanks for the trip to Fiji. Mike's wife comes out, and then Mike says that they have one of the greatest loves of all time, as if he's never seen The Princess Bride. Although, didn't he reference The Princess Bride earlier in this season?
He might have.
I feel like he probably
did. I think
he's
just compensating for the fact that, you know, she's getting fucked by,
Ethan.
By Ethan.
Ethan,
yeah.
Season 3 winner, yeah. I would watch that spinoff.
Ethan's I'm the third in your marriage now.
Lauren's sister comes out and then gives Jeff a big hug first, and then they talk about going to an open casting call, and then they display the URL to apply for the show, which seemed weird. Like, are they super desperate for people in this casting?
I mean,
for the casting the next season?
Given the people they cast this season, maybe they are.
The thing about this season is there are too many super fans.
Yeah.
Who, like, Chrissy has been watching the show forever. Ben has been watching the show forever. Devin has been watching the show forever. Although he's been doing a good job of, like, using his experience with the show to play a good game. And Mike fucking, we'll get into Mike's love affair with this fucking show. I mean, he is letting the third season's winner fuck his wife while he's gone, so I guess he fucking loves this show. Oh, and then Chrissy's husband comes out. And I was getting... I don't know if you picked up on this or if anybody else did. It doesn't feel like... I don't mean to pass judgment, but I don't think Chrissy is the type of person her husband would want to go for. I was picking up some strong, secretly gay vibes from her husband.
Okay.
Did you see that? Could you pick up on that at all?
I could have. I mean, yeah, maybe it's intentional. Maybe Chrissy is his beard. Who knows?
I mean, yeah, it's possible. And I mean, if they have a, you know, quality relationship and this is what they want out of it, but you know, if they grew up in our generation instead of Gen X, you know, I don't know that they would have gotten together. I also am casting aspersions. I don't know if any of that is true, but that's just the vibe I got.
This is just our opinion on Survivor.
But if it comes out later that they're getting a divorce because he's fucking Ethan Zahn.
Man, Ethan is just fucking running wild on all of these spouses.
Actually, you know, people on this show do hook up with each other quite a bit after the show. Like, cross-season.
That's weird.
Apparently. It is weird. Apparently, there is some, like, reality show contestant, like, seminar or conference or something, / party that people go to every year. And it's basically just an excuse
it's like a big fuck
for
party.
Them to, like, hook up with each other. Yeah. It's like... Oh, okay.
Reality shows are like banned. Everyone is fucking each other.
Yeah. I wish I hadn't quit band after 9th grade.
Yeah, dude, you missed all the best parts.
Yeah, seriously. I remember one time... Oops,
pun,
I almost
pun
said the thing from the movie. One time, when I was... I guess it was going into freshman year, went to band camp, and there were, like, these two super hot, like... upperclassmen who, like, pretended to be all innocent and everything, but then Edward was, like, whispering that they were fucking in the bushes. Looking back, I'm pretty sure that isn't exactly what was happening, but I thought for sure it was.
Man, this is some hot 2005 gossip.
Yeah. Let's go back 12 years to a little town in Michigan. Where it was exactly, I don't remember.
Where some... supposedly innocent upper class men were fucking in the bushes.
Mm-mm. Can't trust it. Can't trust
it. It turned out that they were
classes.
Actually just listening to the Oasis song Fucking in the Bushes.
I mean, iPods were big back then. It's entirely possible. Where were we? Oh, Chrissy's gay husband comes out.
The counselor walking like, what are you doing? Like, no, I just... Noel had been hanging out with the Chemical Brothers, and he was trying out a new sound. It's good.
It's really good. I'm practicing my instrument for band. Yeah, band camp. Woohoo! Go band. So then, what's it called? Oh, Devin's mom comes out, and Ben's wife comes out. And then here's the challenge. They have to pull a marble out of a bag and hope it matches the marble that their loved one also pulls out of a different bag. What?
Yeah, this was incredibly dumb.
In the preview, Jeff said, you're going to run this challenge with your loved one. And I was like, oh, it's going to be like a race or something. When he said run, he meant do. You're going to compete in this challenge with your loved one. There was no running involved.
Yeah, no one was running. It was an entirely sedentary. There was no physical activity at all in this challenge.
The only loved one who ran at all was Lauren's sister when she ran out to give Jeff a hug.
I did like Jeff's reaction where he was like, 35 seasons and I finally get a hug.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised to hear that no one had ever done that before.
That would be my first thing I would do. I don't give a shit about my loved one. I'm going over to say hi to Jeff.
Jeff is my loved one.
What if Jeff was like, what if you listed him as your loved one and Jeff was like, Jake! And then another Jeff came running out.
Two Jeffs! I didn't even consider that.
And then they kiss.
I thought it was
going to
be like, they kiss, and then we all three of us kiss each other.
And then they all
kiss.
And
it's very good TV. It's too hot for TV. Do they... I don't think they did. No, never mind. It's not important. I was thinking, did they do loved ones challenges for Blood versus Water? But they wouldn't because their loved one was competing with them on the show. Anyway, Ben and his wife match their marbles. Chrissy and her husband match the marbles. And then they go to round two. Chrissy and her husband match their marbles a second time. Ben and his wife do not. So Chrissy and her husband win. They bring on the reward with them. Young Sheldon, Michael, and Ashley. Yeah, as well as their loved ones.
Fucking Garbo.
Yeah, and then she says, it's very important that she didn't pick Ben, because she says, Ben picked the wrong day to pick a fight with me.
You picked a fight one, with him!
Yeah, he didn't pick a fight with you. He voted against your alliance. And then, also, he voted out somebody that you wanted out anyway, so fucking chill, dude. And then also, like, his like, he's just not going on the reward. Like, that's his punishment for picking a fight with you. I think he'll survive on this show, Survivor. Anyway, so they go on the reward, and it's like a barbecue or whatever. And Chrissy wants to sway Ashley over to her side, and they sit together. And Chrissy makes her argument, and Ashley considers it. Back on camp, Ben creates and plants a fake idol in hopes of Chrissy or Ryan finding it. Lauren says she doesn't like how personal Ben is taking things. And then as they're walking through the woods, Lauren finds a clue, and beneath the clue, a half of an idol, and a note that says the other half will be in front of her at the immunity challenge. And it's a little... Shell, do you want to talk about this immunity challenge now?
Sure.
Okay, so with outstretched arms, they have to balance two discs with their fingertips.
I'm sorry, do you mean with arms wide open?
I do, that is exactly what I mean.
They were under the sunlight as well.
They were. When Lauren drops out, she grabs the shell, which is the second part of her idol, and then it comes down to Ashley and Devin. And Devin asks if she wants to fight it out or just let one of them win since they're in an alliance together. Devin eventually lets Ashley win in exchange for back rubs. Great. I love this bonding. Lauren says it's either Mike, Chrissy, or young Sheldon going home tonight.
I mean, that would be great. Any of those.
Any one of those. If they could... Here's something. What if instead they voted three people out this tribal council?
And it was those exact three people.
Yeah. What if Lauren got like two extra votes and then another advantage that was like, you're the only person who gets to vote this this tribal council. And then she uses all of her extra votes to vote out those three.
It sounds pretty good.
I think that's a really good advantage. I think I should probably be producing this show. I think the cast would be a lot better. God, this fucking season. I can't wait for this shit to be over. Okay, let's talk about what happens at camp before Tribal Council. Ashley approaches Devin and Lauren about voting out Ben. Ben walks up behind them and hears them talking. And then he approaches Mike and tells him about Lauren's advantage. Chris E tries to... as opposed to Chris R.
Yeah. I actually just saw The Disaster Artist. It's good.
I really want to go see it. I want to go see it so bad. I'll probably see it next weekend.
You gotta see it. You'll love it.
I know. Did you read the book?
I did read the book.
It's good.
It is very good.
Also, The Room, great flick. So love glad they it. Made a sequel. Okay, so Chrissy tries to convince Devin to vote with her. Ben tries to talk to Chrissy, but she's not interested. But eventually he tells her that he is targeting Lauren. And then word gets back to Lauren that her name is on the chopping block, and she gives half of her idol to Mike in a show of trust. You know, would have been a great move had she not given it to a literal idiot.
Yeah, I don't understand.
What? Here's something
I don't
weird.
Understand.
Why do all the doctors they cast on this show fucking suck?
Selective intelligence, dude. They're good at the one thing that they do. It doesn't mean that they're smart about other things.
Yeah, apparently.
Look at Ben Carson.
Dude, are all doctors just actually stupid?
They just... they don't have room for things other than doctor things in their brains.
Well, what's-his-name did all that plastic surgery to look like the president, and he was a doctor, so...
yeah, and he was like a weird about. Dickhead.
He was awful. Let's do a whole season of really shitty doctors that have been on the show versus, like, just genuinely good people who aren't doctors. That's a very important detail in that season. It can be called doctors versus
doctors decents. Versus doctors with borders.
It's a great name for a season. I don't know why we're not producing every season of this show.
I mean, really, at this point, it's a real slap in the face.
Jeff, we're coming for you. When Jeff dies, which hopefully will never happen, do you?
Yeah,
want
I don't
to take
even like that. I don't even like that you brought that up.
Should Jeff Probst ever die? Answer: no. But if
the
he
only
does,
way, the only way that Jeff Probst can't ever die, it's like the Santa Claus. If you accidentally kill him, then you become Jeff Probst.
Yeah, Jeff. The movie about this would be called Jeff Probst, but it would be JeffProbste. Like, well, because it's like a lawyer thing. That's why there's the
yeah.
key in the end.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to talk about the wildlife in this episode?
Sure. As I always want to talk about the wildlife.
I came very close to just not looking anything up because I didn't feel like it this week, but I did anyway. So first up, we've got a crab, which we all know their brains are stored in their blood, obviously. So we don't need to look that
this
up.
This is true, we know that.
There were several snakes. We've looked up snakes. We know what they're all about.
I know everything about snakes.
Scary.
Now.
Okay, how old are they?
10.
Well, that's pretty old. How long are they?
4 feet.
Correct. What's all their names? Give me the name of every single snake.
Common
name, not like their species.
Yeah.
Like you're not walking down the street.
They're
that's
all
a
named
human.
Snake.
That's got to get confusing at lunch. There's another walking stick animal, which I believe we've talked about. There's an iguana, which we've also talked about. There's a beetle, which I couldn't really tell what it was. And then there were, like, a lot of rats, which I don't think we have ever talked about.
No, we haven't.
On this show, did you watch Survivor last night? And there's a reason
so you're
we
saying
haven't talked
in
about
wildlife
rats
that there are snakes
I don't
and rats?
Like them. There are snakes and rats, and we have talked about snakes. We have not talked about rats, as nature intended. I don't like rats. They are probably one of my least favorite animals, but it is fitting that they are featured in this episode of a bad season of Survivor. Bad animal, bad season. Okay, so here's the thing. The thing that we think of as rats originated in Asia and are called Old World rats.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah. I wondered if there were New World rats, but then I decided not to look it up because I was afraid of what I might find.
The NWR. For life.
NWR. Now, there's a season initials. There's also something called a kangaroo rat, which is not the type of rat that is on Fiji.
No, also kangaroo rats are cool.
They're like the cutest rat I've ever seen.
There's panda rats, too. Look up panda rats. They're fucking adorable.
Ooh, okay. I will. A group of rats. Do you know what a group of rats is called? It's very good.
What is it? What are they called?
A group of rats is called a mischief.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
It's like the, it's probably the best one of a grouping of animal other than...
a murder.
A murder of crows. Or, like... I also really like a crowd of humans.
Yeah, that's
a good,
good
one, too.
A Flock of Seagulls is a good band.
Oh, I love that band. Lifespans vary between species, but most live about a year. Their tail's main purpose is thought to be thermoregulation. Also, something I learned in researching rats, I guess it wasn't all for naught, Crash Bandicoot is a rat. Did you know that?
He is? I didn't realize that.
Yes, a bandicoot is a type of rat. At this point, I stopped researching rats because there's a lot of information and it all grosses me out, and I started researching Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you want to hear some facts about Crash Bandicoot?
Please tell me. I was just talking about Crash Bandicoot with my roommate yesterday, so this is very timely.
How could you not be talking about Crash Bandicoot at all times? Crash Bandicoot was created by Sony to compete with Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario the Plumber, as his name is.
Yeah, he was their attempt at a tentpole like platformer franchise.
Yep. Apparently, like, mascots like that were becoming less popular, but they were still like, you know what? We want one though. Apparently, they wanted to do what Sega did with hedgehogs and what Warner Brothers did with the Tasmanian Devil and make an unknown animal, like, cute and likable. So, these two guys got a Tasmanian field guide and narrowed their choices down to Wombat, Potoroo, and Bandicoot. And they were like, we're going to build something out of one of these. And obviously, eventually landed on Bandicoot. But the placeholder
name... It's a fun thing to say, is the thing. Like, Crash Bandicoot's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Bandicoot is just a fun word. Potoroo is a weird animal. I didn't understand its Wikipedia page. We all know what a wombat is. But the placeholder name for Crash Bandicoot, before they decided that he would be called Crash Bandicoot, was Willy the Wombat.
Oh, God, that's a fucking failure right there. That's like Ty the Tasmanian Tiger.
they used that as a placeholder because they didn't want to reveal anything. I think they were like, yeah, we know this is shitty, so nobody will be expecting anything from it, or I don't know what the reasoning was, but yeah, they intentionally made a bad name for it, and succeeded. Okay, do you want to talk about this wild tribal council?
Sure.
Okay. So Devin explains that he was trying to communicate trust with Ashley when they negotiated who would win immunity. Lauren announces that she ripped up her extra vote at camp. I don't understand why you would ever do that. I know that she's lying, but it's still stupid. Anyway, Ben pulls out the fake idol that he made to show that it is no longer in play. Mike takes Lauren's shell and says, I've been waiting 15 years to do this, and throws the shell in the fire. Michael, why? Did you just do that to have that moment?
I mean, presumably, yes.
It serves no purpose to do that. It's idiotic.
Fuck someone over.
Yeah. Hey, this person. Hey, you know how you haven't been able to trust people this entire season? Somebody offers you something, like a gesture of trust, and you destroy it? How is anybody going to be on your side after that? He sucks. He's so bad at this game.
Yeah, I do not care for him.
He's going to fucking win. You know he's going to win, too. He sucks. I hate him. I hate him. I hate young Sheldon, and I hate Chrissy. Like Devin, Ashley seems fine, although we haven't seen much of her, and Ben deserves to win at this point, unless some other crazy shit happens.
I think him, Devin, and Ashley have very clearly been the best players, like, this season.
Yeah. I think Ben, for, you know, just playing well socially and advantage-wise, has done really well. Devin is super strategic, and Ashley has won the most immunity challenges.
Yeah, it's Devin has played very well socially, and Ashley's played very well physically.
Yeah, and I think that Ashley is considered the GOAT this season. The problem with that phrase is that GOAT means either
greatest of all time,
to the end, or greatest of all time. You're either greatest of all time, or nobody thinks about you as a potential winner, so they take you to the end. But I think Ashley leans more towards the good goat than the bad goat.
Yeah, if you think you can take her to the end, like, you're probably going to lose.
No, she's been on the right side of almost every vote. She's played a presumably pretty decent social game, and she has won more challenges than anyone else.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good resume.
Everyone should be viewing her as the biggest threat at this point. Because even if she went to the end with Ben, I think she would beat him.
She's playing a quiet game, though, because she hasn't made any big moves. And, you know, Jeff Probst loves big moves, and he's the deciding factor in who wins the game. If she makes some big move in these final two episodes, I think that her chance of winning is drastically increased. But I think that she is, at this point, a totally deserved winner.
She's been playing very, very well.
Yeah, she just hasn't been featured in many episodes much. Mike throws the fucking shovel in the fire, which is stupid. And then Ryan whispers to Mike to keep the vote on Lauren. And then everybody gets up and starts whispering to one another except for Ben. And then they vote, and Jeff asks for any hidden immunity idols, and everyone looks around, and the music plays, and Ben looks up as the sting that means that no one is playing an idol hits. So you assume that he's not going to play his idol. And then they zoom out to show everybody again, and Ben lifts a finger in the air and goes, "Hey, Jeff?" And he plays his idol for himself. And then the first vote is for Ben, does not count. And then the next five votes are also for Ben, none of which count. And then the final vote is for Lauren. So, Lauren's out. How do you feel about that, Thomas?
Not great. It was not a very good way to leave, especially because she had played such a good game up to this point. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if you...
She just put her trust in the wrong person.
She deserved to go home for the way that she played this episode.
Who do you think she should have given her shell to instead if she wanted to make that move? To, like, instill trust in somebody who hasn't been on her side?
I don't think you needed to give it to anybody from that alliance. I would have probably given it to Ashley or Devin.
Yeah, that... I think either of them would not have done that dumb shit.
No, neither... They absolutely would not have done that.
It's like... Mike's whole deal is like turning on an action movie in the last 20 minutes that you've never seen before.
He just wants to have, like, big moments, not for them to make any sense. Like, he just wants to have, like, he's like, this is going to be a memorable thing to do.
Yeah, like, you get the explosion with none of the context. It's like throwing a shell in the fire means literally nothing if you just want to throw a shell in the fire. It's stupid. I can't believe he's made it this far. The way to win Survivor is to think that Survivor is super lame. And Mike thinks it's, like, the coolest thing ever. I hate him. Anyway, so Ben is now the only person to have voted correctly every single time, except for the one time he voted for Mike, but that was, like, a secret vote for JP anyway, so I still consider him at 100%. Next best is Devin. He's voted 7 of his 8 tribal councils correctly. Next best is Young Sheldon with 7 of 9, then Ashley, 6 of 8, Chrissy is at 5 of 9, and Mike is sitting pretty at 2 of 6.
Yeah, like, he's just played an awful game.
Yeah, he has literally just skated past. I'm afraid that people think he's a goat, and that's why they're taking him to the end, but the people on the jury were in his original tribe. So I'm afraid that they're going to vote for him if he gets to the end. Anyway, Mike sucks. Chrissy sucks. Young Sheldon sucks. Ben, Devin, and Ashley, I'm really rooting for you at this point. Hey, here's what happened on this Ponderosa episode with Lauren. She and Joe go out crab hunting on a boat, and it's a real good time for the two of them.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
It does. I was happy for the two of them. Do you want to talk about the point we won?
Sure.
All right, so you're now up at 29 points because Ashley won immunity.
Sure.
I'm at 21 points. Okay, let's predict things for next week. who we.
How are you? Wait, how are you at 21? Didn't you say you only won 1 point?
No, you only won 1 point.
How many points did you win?
I won 0 points.
Oh, you won zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm gonna make it up in these next two episodes. Let's predict what might happen. Can you believe that there was no ice cream or lasagna at this barbecue?
I didn't like that.
A travesty. Who do you think will win reward?
I am gonna say that Ben wins reward.
You've been saying that every week, and I don't think he has.
It's like Tools for Shelter, man. Just gotta keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh, what if they give him tools to build a shelter?
That would be amazing.
Oh my god, you guys, we forgot to give you this. I will say Devin again. You know?
Sure.
He's my tools to build a shelter for the reward. What do you think will be present at the reward?
Just trying to think of what they haven't done this year. I'm going to say cocktails.
Cocktails. I'm going to say some more beer. They love beer on this show. No matter what happens, somebody's getting trashed. Ooh, what if somebody gets so drunk that they like puke a lot and are so hungover that they have to quit the game?
That'd be amazing.
What if it's little baby young Sheldon?
That would be fantastic.
Okay. Who will win the immunity then? You're picking first.
I'm just going to pick Ashley again.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not a bad idea. I will go with Benjamin. He hasn't won immunity yet, has he?
I don't think he has. I think he's come close, but I don't think he's won.
Yeah, his time is coming. Who do you think will be out next?
I'm going to say Chrissy, because I want it to be true.
Oh, I would love to see that. I'm going to, you know, tools to build a shelter in. I'm going to say young Sheldon again.
I mean, either of these would be great outcomes.
Yeah. At this point, I'm not rooting for what I think will happen, or I'm not voting for what I think will happen. I'm voting for what I want to happen. And I think that's the way we should go about it from here on out.
Sometimes you just have to put out some positive vibes and hope that the universe rewards you for it.
I mean, I did pick up a penny that was heads up on my way into my apartment this morning, so I think that means young Sheldon will be out of this game. No, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to say Mike is out next.
Yeah, because he really should be.
And then they'll get rid of all of the healers. Ugh. I hate that was the distinction at the beginning of the season. It should have been, like, okay people versus, like, a tribe that you could be friends with and healers. But healers is in quotation marks because they're not, like, confident in that distinction either. I think that would be a better title for the show.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So that's Survivor. Those are our final predictions for next week.
Jake, what happened? Left. Jake, what happened on the challenge, Champs versus Stars?
Oh, you want to talk about the challenge, Champs versus Stars? Let me hold off on the challenge chunk now.
Wait, you got to talk about Are You the One?
Are You the One? They have finished up the season. After 10 weeks, they found a total of one perfect match, which is the worst of any season ever, I'm pretty
sure. So they lost.
At the final, well, let's talk about it. At the final matchup, they needed to get 11 total beams, perfect match included. The best they've ever done was 5. How many beams do you think they got, Thomas?
I think they got 8 beams.
Ooh, you would be wrong. They got 11 beams.
They really did it? Damn, all right.
They really won the game, yeah. I told you, I've been telling you since the beginning, this season's going to win. It's a great cast. Everybody loves this cast. The best cast in the whole history of the show.
Do you think the producers told them so that they didn't have to suffer the embarrassment of 2 straight losing seasons?
That's something people always wonder, if the producers tell them or not. My thinking is that the producers do not tell them, at least they don't tell everybody who they should go for, because then MTV is out $1 million.
I suppose that's true.
And they probably want to keep the show under budget. At one point in one of the episodes, Tyler, who was part of the Only Perfect Match they found, was like describing on Twitter the dates on every season, and it was like season 3, season 4, go skydiving, season 5, go, I don't remember what the example from season 5 was. Season 6, go make some sugar bread, which was like a real date. They like went to a bakery and made beignets, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. Some delicious, which, like,
honestly looked Cajun really donuts. Fun. Yeah, it looked really fun, but it was definitely not up to the same
par as the first
few seasons.
It's MTV going with some budget dates.
I'm sure they did. And, you know, I don't blame them. They got to shell out $1 million to these idiots. But yeah, they won, so good for them. Let's talk about the challenge, Champs versus Stars, now. The man T.O., Terrell Owens, he and CT had a fight, and he stopped coming to the shoot. He just quit the show.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really surprise me. I mean, it's not like, it's a relatively short one anyway, and he has other things he can do.
Yeah, CT called him out for going bankrupt, and I think that made him mad. Riff Raff might have also quit. He just like didn't show up to elimination or whatever.
That's even less surprising.
Like, yeah. Jenna had broken her foot last week. So when they were nominating people for elimination, The Miz told the Champs team that if they wanted, they could nominate her for elimination and there just wouldn't be an elimination this week. And they're like, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's my favorite way to go about elimination. If Jenna ever has to leave the show early, I hope that is the only way. Here's the big news about the challenge. This week, though, they have announced the premiere of the next season. And I know you're saying, didn't the last season just end? Yes, it did. Next season is called The Challenge Vendettas. It begins January 2nd.
Just give us some time to miss your show that's not even good.
I know. Here's what's different this season. There will only be one winner. It's not, you know, one man, one woman winner. It's one winner.
Not the traditional Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve rules.
Exactly. It's just Adam.
That seems dumb.
Do you care at all about the cast list?
I mean, is there anyone I like on there?
Corey's on there, Devin's on there, Eddie is on there from season 5 of Are You the One?
Oh, yeah.
He covered, yeah. Leroy's there, Nelson is there, Tony is there again, of course. He has 2 children, like very young children, and he does this show every single season. Zach, who fucking sucks, but is from Michigan, so... Also, Leroy is from Michigan. Also, Corey's from Michigan. Shit, yeah. That's
good. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah. Then there's some people from, like, X on the Beach and Jordy Shore and Big Brother for the guys. Alicia and Cam from Are You the One Season 5, who were fighting over Eddie. That's their vendetta. Kara's back, Jamie's back, Kayla's back. Ooh, there's also somebody named Kaylee. That's gonna get confusing.
So what you're telling me is that Cam is on this season?
Cam is on this season.
Alright, that's fucking great.
Yeah, and if the spoilers I read are to be believed, she does quite well. Nicole, Nani's cousin, and Nicole from, Did you watch any of Invasion?
I don't think
I did. Seasons ago? Oh. Well, she's real cool, and she's back. Veronica's back. And then there's like a handful of other people also who I don't think you care about. Yeah, that's it. That's the next challenge. It starts next month. Oh my god.
Less than a month.
Yeah. I think it'll start the week after we watch that Miz movie. So, we could do that.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think we want to dedicate a whole another segment unless the first episode is really good. How about we watch the first episode for that week and cover that for the week? And if it's like real good, we'll keep watching it. But if not, we'll say fuck it and stop watching. And I feel like that's going to be what happens. Last week we said no more Michaela B on the challenge because we gave up. What have we, did you think of anybody else you want to put on the Survivor?
No.
Me neither. Send in... Ooh, what about Triple H? Hunter Hemsley.
It would be especially great if he just, like, pretended to be some guy like a lot of more famous people have.
Yeah. My name's Hunter Hemsworth Hawkins.
Yeah, if he's just like, I'm Paul Levesque. I'm a CFO at an entertainment company.
Oh, what entertainment company? The World Wildlife Fund. Oh, is that entertainment? Oh, I mean, I am entertained by it. It's my job. I love my job. I love my wife. Her name's Stephanie McIntosh. Her name's Stephanie McIntosh. I don't know why I mispronounced it. I'm not Triple H, the wrestler you recognize.
Her name is Stephanie Levesque.
My father-in-law is, they call him Mr. McMahon because he looks like Vince McMahon, but he's not Vince McMahon.
He is, I cannot stress enough how much he's not Vince McMahon.
His name's Vince Jabroni. That's his real last name. I definitely thought about this before getting on the island. Anyway, Triple H. Do you want to, okay, Survivor Simulator is a fucking great time. Do you want to do a season of, in the intermediate, what's the word? You know what I'm trying to say. Between seasons of wrestlers. I think we might have talked about this already, but we could do that.
It's certainly on the table.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so you can follow us on Twitter. Also, don't use the hashtag Triple H on Survivor. We already had a whole season of that, and it was bad. You can follow us on Twitter, though, as we try to decide a new hashtag to use, DYWSLN, or me as Jake Scheidel.
You can follow me at TomNotTom.
You like our Facebook page. Email us, DidYouWatchLastNight@gmail.com. And sign that email, your pal Jeff Probst, with an E, obviously.
Oh, wait, Jake, I think I have somebody for the hashtag, now that I think about it.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, Jeff Probst.
I mean, he's someone who... is not afraid of, you know, less ideal conditions.
Okay.
Someone I think would maybe get along well with
Jeff. Oh, you know what? You should also review us on iTunes, and we're going to have a great summer.
Yeah, so I think hashtag on Survivor. He's definitely going to follow the rules. He knows that Survivor is not a democracy.
The weird thing is, it is a democracy.
It is kind
technically.
Of.
Within the show, within the context of the show, it's a democracy. It's all about voting. Okay, so I already said have a great summer, so now it's your turn to say...
Trips! We'll be right back.
I was like, oh, who are you thinking about? Oh, I know who you're thinking about.
I can't believe you didn't fucking immediately. Asshole.
I thought you were actually invested in this, but no, you just wanted to make a dumb fucking joke that you make every week.
I just like to test your commitment to bleeping out his name.
The thing is, it's very important to me because as soon as I forget, then the joke is over and it's not fun anymore.
It has to keep going forever, just like John Cena's.
John Cena on Survivor!
Cena on Survivor would be great.
Cena on Survivor, we got that.
It would be especially great. He'd be able to play. Credits. He'd be able to play a really quiet game because you can't see him. Anytime you got to tribal council with him, no one would think to vote for him.
I want this so bad because he's basically retiring from WWE anyway, and everybody loves him. Super charming, super strong, strongest man who's ever existed. And he's America's fuck, so...
It would be unfair to have him in physical challenges with other people.
You know what else is unfair? The way that the show has treated us all season.
That's true.
Get John Cena on Survivor.
Please do this for us.